Sometimes it is impossible to behold nature and not just be mesmerized by the beauty that our world has to offer. And here, with waterfalls, glaciers, and raw, pristine beauty around every corner, this feeling is ever present. This is the Republic of North Ossetia, Alania.
Scientists, North Ossetia is a unique place where all kinds of dangerous geological processes can be examined. Earthquakes, mud, and rock slides. Geologist Igor Vaskov has been observing them for decades, and he's got some interesting insights to share.
So this is stunningly beautiful, but what makes it so that Ossetia gives you the right opportunities to, I guess, study the dangers of geological world? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, why is Ossetia so dangerous?
Mountains are dangerous because they're constantly growing. They continually accumulate potential energy. And the faster that energy piles up, the faster they're destroyed. But this destruction isn't uniform. In some places, it's a continuous process, with small rocks falling off all the time. In other places, larger rocks come loose. The beauty and danger of mountainous terrains lie in their constant evolution and growth. This endless accumulation of potential energy within these huge rock masses. And the faster they grow, the faster they're destroyed.
So rock slides are common here in Ossetia, but they're also common in the Caucasus in general. What causes them?
People think that rock slides are caused by rainfall, but in fact they're caused by the growth of the mountain structures I mentioned, and secondly by surface erosion. That happens due to the wind, sun, temperature, and water freezing between fractures and cracks. So the scale of rock falls can be very different. However, the largest rock slides occur when its strength limit has been reached under accumulated stress. That's when the biggest rock slides happen.
We know that rock slides can provoke glaciers to fall and break off. We know 20 years ago this happened and caused devastation beyond belief. We still don't know how many people were killed. Campgrounds were destroyed, communications destroyed. Why is that? What causes that?
You see, before the Kolka disaster in the Gnadan River Valley, people here were unaware of such processes, even though several incidents had been reported in other countries by then. The most infamous was the Huascaran debris avalanche, which occurred in 1962, and again in 1970, killing 18,000 people in the Peruvian town of Yungay. In the case of the Kolka disaster, the total ice, rock, and debris flow was 115 million cubic meters, and the energy of that ice and rock slide was calculated for the very first time. It was estimated at around 3 megatons. It was huge. Similar rock slides happened in other places too, not only in Peru, which has already seen 3 or 4 that were recorded. We'll see one of the major rock slides a little later. Big rock slides keep happening across the world all the time. But again, people were in the dark about this before the Kolka-Gnadan disaster. It was only after they studied this rock slide that they learned what it was all about.
So, mudslides can be very devastating. In fact, some of the most devastating of the geological catastrophes that can happen. Some of the waves that come through are up to 25 meters. What causes them? Why are they so devastating?
A mudflow is a mass movement of rock and soil, liquefied by the addition of water, or a movement of water carrying the rock and soil. There is one important factor, however. Both rock and soil can be in the form of sand or even finer particles, or it can be in the form of big boulders, even huge ones. And then it all starts with the fall of these boulders, not with the movement of water. For example, Here you can see these steep mudflow cuts, these gullies, on the slopes of the mountains. Thawing causes moraines, which are accumulations of unsolidified debris which drop down the slopes. And since the slopes are steep, with a gradient exceeding 60 and up to 90 degrees, all this mass falls quickly, and sometimes, as it falls, it gets mixed with water and continues to fall as a liquefied mass. As it happens, mudflow cuts like these are formed. They're literally made by a huge mass of rock and debris coming down from the top. And this movement produces a lot of energy, because the density of the rock mixture can be up to 2.7 grams per cubic centimeter, while the density of water is 1 gram per cubic centimeter. In other words, water alone can't do any of this stuff, while a mudflow can. It cuts the ground and moves a lot of rock and soil. Also, mudflows come in single waves, i.e. wave packets, that are strongly stable, and each wave like that is called a soliton. Once a wave like this reaches a flatter area, it starts losing speed. Its cross-sectional area increases, and so the entire wave slows down until the solid material comes to rest. Beyond that point, only water continues to run, although often water still carries rock and soil in the form of finer particles. Then it can create a new mudflow, a continuation of the first one.
So we know that when a tsunami strikes, just before that happens, all of the water recedes into the ocean, and then we know that a tsunami is coming. Is there any indication that a mudslide is immediately going to happen? Is there any little trick that people can know to look out for?
A tsunami is usually caused by a seismic shock. It can also be caused by a massive landslide into water, which also translates to a gravitational shockwave. Mudflows, on the other hand, start off pretty quietly, and so they don't have any key signs to help us see them coming. There's nothing we can do to prevent them from happening either. The only thing we can do is to stay out of their way and never try and change their course. Instead, we should let them follow the paths they've broken, like these gullies here. Let them be and stay away from them.
What about earthquakes? I would assume that this area is pretty geologically active. There hasn't been a severe earthquake here in the past 100 years. Is Ossetia ready for the next one? It's bound to happen at some point, right?
You see, there have been earthquakes in the Caucasus, and there will be more in the future, because this mountain range keeps evolving. Geological points of stress keep shifting, so tensions increase or decrease here and there, and it's pretty difficult to identify where the tensions are increasing, although it's not entirely impossible. What we can do in terms of prevention is make sure that all the buildings here are capable of withstanding earthquakes, because we are right now in an area where earthquakes of up to a magnitude 9 can potentially occur. So all the buildings and facilities have to be designed to withstand such powerful quakes.
In a legendary protected area, the very name of which sounds like it's from an epic alternative myth, the Mountains of Digoria. It's a true reserve of material and spiritual culture, as well as natural wonders. Alan Sabeyev has been working here most of his life.
This is a fascinating place. Now, I understand that this is Zadalesk, which is actually named after a woman who is believed to have saved the entire Alania people. Can you tell me more about that legend?
In the late 13th to early 14th century, during the Tatar-Mongol invasion, the Alans suffered a crushing defeat. There was nowhere to run, and all the men were killed. There was blood and death everywhere. Some children were orphaned, and a young woman took it upon herself to gather these children. When night fell on the land, she led the children over the mountains and through the forest, following the North Crossing, until they reached a cave in Zadalesk Valley, where they could find shelter. Fighting hunger and cold, she sustained them on herbs and berries for several days. Then they went out to the village of Zadalesk, and the families there welcomed and adopted the children, each family taking in as many as they could. By the time of her passing, the children had grown up and married, and she was buried in Zadalesk with great honor. Today, she is considered a hero among the Ossetian people.
So this place is often called Sun Valley because it's in the Sun Belt. Tell me more about that.
This is Sun Valley, literally because there are more sunny days here than in the other valleys of the Digor Gorge. There is also less rainfall here. Spring begins 2 weeks earlier. Fall ends 2 weeks later. That's why it's called Sun Valley.
It seems interesting to me that springs, sometimes groves, even individual trees have been worshipped. Why is that?
The population here grew in the early 14th century when people were forced to flee to the mountains because of the Tatar Mongols. It was a hard life with little land or resources. Their harvests were meager, lasting only 2 months, and they had nowhere else to go. People had nothing to feed their children, so they had to find places to get grain. They raised cattle to survive, but the cattle were often stolen. As a result, they quickly improved their skills in animal husbandry and crop farming out of sheer necessity. To preserve natural resources, they chose areas unsuitable for agriculture as their places of worship. And so they prayed there once a year.
So I know trees have been worshipped across generations and across different cultures. What about waterfalls? There's so many here in Ossetia. Do you worship them?
There are so many waterfalls in Ossetia. I think there are about 35 huge ones and many smaller ones. For example, in Alania National Park, there are 19 waterfalls. If we count the rapids, smaller rivers and streams, mineral springs and so on, there are about 80. What's valuable about these waterfalls, both large and small, is that they not only provide pure drinking water, but also ionize the air. In the 19th century, people from the lowlands, especially those suffering from tuberculosis, came here and spent the summer near waterfalls and mountain rivers. Pines are also better ionizers than other trees. Not only do they produce oxygen, but they ionize it. So that's it.
Waterfalls are truly nature's artful masterpiece. There are more than 50 of them here. Valery Ikoyev studies glaciers, high mountain lakes, and waterfalls.
So, if we get right into it, why are there so many waterfalls here in Ossetia?
We can say we just got lucky. A waterfall is something out of the ordinary. For so many waterfalls to be formed, the landscape needs to be very diverse. We're lucky to have a variety of landscapes here. Ossetia is at the center of the Caucasus geographically, and our landscape is extremely diverse. In Ossetia, we have both small waterfalls in limestone rocks like this one here on the Kartsiran River, and very high waterfalls that come from glaciers. The water only flows there in summer, though. It freezes in the winter. There are so many landscape forms in Ossetia. Faults, cliffs, scarps and benches, and hence so many waterfalls. So landscape diversity is the most important factor in this regard.
Now, you mentioned glaciers. Glaciers are everywhere in Ossetia and the mountains, but in terms of waterfalls, they don't just form everywhere. Why do they form in certain places and not another?
That's true. We do have a lot of glaciers, but not all of them give birth to waterfalls. You need a particular type of landscape for a waterfall to be formed. A cliff is needed with a very steep rock face, so that the water falls vertically over the precipice. This type of landscape can be found at the Midigrabinsky waterfalls, for example, a very popular tourist destination in Ossetia. But glaciers are more often formed on low gradient, smooth slopes. If there's a slope like that, the glacier will melt and gradually turn into a river. If there's no steep cliff, there'll be no waterfall. So to answer your question, not all glaciers can start waterfalls. You need specific landscape conditions for that.
How long does it take for a waterfall to form?
That is, in fact, a very ambiguous question. Waterfalls are all different, and there can be different starting points for their formation. For example, if we ignore the fact that mountains are needed to begin with, we could assume that there's a glacier, and it needs literally just a few days to start melting for that waterfall to appear. Or it could rain, filling the canyon, and a waterfall appears. But if we consider things more broadly on a larger scale, it sometimes takes decades or centuries for waterfalls to form. First, the terrain must be formed, then the necessary climate, then either a glacier or a riverbed will appear which will wash away the earth, destroying it, and creating an opening from which the water can flow. So, yes, in fact, the formation of waterfalls can take hundreds of years. It all depends on where and how it's formed, from a glacier or just a river.
Now, it seems to me this water is coming down at a tremendous force, and even the bigger waterfall with greater heights, even more so. What does this do to the landscape? Does it break the rocks as it moves?
Indeed, waterfalls do eventually destroy themselves. They self-destruct during their lifetime. But of course, that doesn't happen instantly. There is such a thing as water erosion. Water can literally grind absolutely any rock. And by looking at this waterfall, you can see how the water has made the surface of the rock very smooth over the decades. Of course, it'll take more than 100 years before the water finally drains off the ledge and turns from a waterfall into an ordinary water slide, when a streamlet will simply flow rapidly down the slope. So yes, waterfalls destroy themselves, but this happens over an extremely long period of time, so the process cannot be detected.
Now, this might seem like a strange question, but we've all seen images of beautiful frozen waterfalls where the water freezes and almost freezes the waterfall in place, but some don't. Why do some waterfalls actually freeze over and some just dry up?
The condition of a waterfall in winter primarily depends on its type. If, for example, it starts from a glacier, then, of course, the water stops melting in winter at sub-zero temperatures. Some waterfalls might still have a very thin trickle flowing down, which gradually freezes and turns into a beautiful and large mass of ice. But if we're talking about waterfalls formed from rivers, like this one, everything depends on precipitation. If there's precipitation that melts the ice, it will continue to flow. But the amount of water will decrease, of course. But if a spring dries up for the winter or freezes underground, then the waterfall will also cease to exist during the winter. Of course, in warm countries with tropical or subtropical climates, waterfalls flow continuously, all year round. Here in Ossetia, almost all waterfalls either freeze or simply dry up during the winter.
Now, climate, for me, seems to be an important role for waterfalls. For example, in Africa, Victoria Falls, because of the drought there, have dried up on occasion. But here, it seems to me it might be the opposite. Because of the glaciers, climate change and global warming would cause more melting, which would make these waterfalls even stronger. Is that the case?
Of course. Global warming affects the planet's climate and will most likely affect waterfalls as well, especially those that begin with glaciers, because the higher the temperature, the more ice melts, and the more fully it will flow. However, for example, for waterfalls in Ossetia to grow 2 or 3 times wider than they are now, the temperature would have to rise a lot, say by 10 degrees Celsius. And this would have very serious consequences, not only for waterfalls. So yes, they will become slightly larger as the climate warms, but most likely it will be a subtle increase in the coming years.
Now, the group TLC had some advice, don't go chasing waterfalls. But for me, maybe for a different reason than they were thinking, they can be dangerous, right?
Yes, of course. Waterfalls are very beautiful. People always tend to approach them and refresh themselves under their spray. But we must always remember that nature can be very dangerous, especially in the mountains. For example, the Caucasus Mountains are considered to be growing, and plus, again, to get back to one of your previous questions, waterfalls eventually destroy themselves. Water grinds the rock, and it may not do it smoothly. It can chip off a small stone which falls from a great height and can easily kill a person. When falling from a height of 100 to 200 meters, even a small stone will gain sufficient speed to cause very serious injury. So when approaching waterfalls, you must always remember about safety, about your personal health, and keep a safe distance away. But there are also harmless waterfalls, like this one, because we clearly see here that there are no particularly large protruding stones that could fall. But of course, it's always better to keep a safe distance from such things and admire the beauty from a little to the side.
Good advice. Better to view at a distance. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.